Okay, today we're basically going to wrap up. We're going to wrap up the topic of this book that we're using on the basic rulings concerning Ramadan and fasting. And we're going to start another book tomorrow, inshallah, on this. But today we're going to wrap this up by going over the rulings of fasting in specific pertaining to women. Yesterday we talked about many rulings which were pertaining to men. Today we're going to talk about some in regards to women. But before we begin today's lecture, I want to make sure everybody is with us on this. I'm going to ask you some questions from yesterday just to see if everybody's paying attention here. First question, true or false? Kissing or hugging breaks your fast. True or false? Kissing or hugging breaks the fast. True or false? Very good. An answer is false. And we talked about that. In fact, the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, used to kiss his wife when he was fasting. However, if you are a person that is too weak and you cannot control yourself, and if kissing will make you get ejaculate or whatever, then you need to stay away from it. There are some men out there who are too weak. Okay, but as a whole, kissing and hugging and touching your wife does not break your fast. There's another misconception that some crazy Muslims out there have. They try to say a woman breaks your wudu, a woman breaks your fast. I don't know where this crazy witchcraft, baloney garbage comes from, but all of this stuff is untrue. Touching a woman does not break anybody's fast. A woman is not an animal. We're not a beast. We're humans, just like men are. Okay? Next question, true or false? If a person awakes after having intercourse and does not take a bath, however, the sun has risen, his fast will not be valid. True or false? If a person wakes up after having intercourse and the sun has risen, but he or she has not taken a bath, their fast will not be valid. True or false? Very good, that is false. And believe it or not, there's a lot of Muslims who think the opposite. They think that if they have relations with their wives at night and don't wake up before Fajr to take a bath, that their fast won't be accepted. This is incorrect. Next question, true or false? Wet dreams during the day break the fast. True or false? Having a wet dream during the daytime breaks the fast. True or false? Let me see everybody answer this question. True or false? Having a wet dream during the day breaks the fast. Very good. That answer is false. And this is the number one question that we get from a lot of young brothers every Ramadan. They say that they took a nap and had a wet dream. Is their fast broken? The answer is no. Okay. Next question, true or false? If ejaculation occurs during the daytime from something in which you should have refrained from, then your fast is not only broken, but you must also seek repentance to Allah. True or false? If ejaculation occurs during the day when you are fasting from something that you should have refrained from, then not only do you have to make that day up, but you have to also seek repentance from Allah. Very good. That answer is true. And this is another question we get a lot of from many young brothers out there. You need to remember, guys, when you're fasting, you should be spending that time doing acts of remembrance of Allah. Engaging in acts of remembrance of Allah. What are you doing putting yourself in a situation that's going to compromise your fasting? Okay? Next question, true or false? Unintentional vomiting breaks the fast. True or false? Unintentional. Unintentional means you did not mean to do it, it just happened. Unintentional vomiting breaks the fast. True or false? Very good. That answer is false. We have a lot of Muslims out there who who think that if you throw up, your fast is broken. This is incorrect unless you make yourself throw up. Now, if you made yourself throw up, then not only have you broken your fast, but you have to also seek repentance to Allah for deliberately breaking your fast. But if it happens unintentionally, it doesn't break your fast. And there's many people out there who suffer with acid reflux, okay, whereas their food will come up into their throat. This does not break your fast. Next question, true or false? Swallowing toothpaste unintentionally breaks the fast. True or false? Swallowing toothpaste unintentionally breaks the fast. Very good. That answer is false. In fact, there's nothing wrong with brushing your teeth. And we talked about how last year we had a woman come to our website and try to debate with me. She wanted to make it haram to brush your teeth when you fast, and she got angry because I told her she was incorrect. And I gave her the hadith, and she still wanted to debate with me, and she started a slander campaign against me. She went to those other websites and started posting up a bunch of garbage. But anyway, brushing your teeth does not break your fast, contrary to some ignorant people's belief. And if you happen to swallow the toothpaste unintentionally, it does not break your fast. Okay? Next question, true or false? Nose bleeding does not break the fast. True or false? Nose bleeding does not break the fast. Very good. That answer is true. And there's a lot of Muslims. We talked about this yesterday with Brother Momo, who should be here, and he's not here. He's always late. He misses the class. We talked about this yesterday. Just because your nose bleeds does not break your fast. Just because you cut your finger does not break your fast. Just because you fall down and hit your head does not break your fast. Just because you fell down and scraped your knee, your fast is not broken. Next question, true or false? Bleeding gums does not break the fast. True or false? Bleeding gums do not break the fast. Very good. This is true. Again, this type of stuff does not break the fast. For those ignorant people who want to try to make the lawful haram by saying you can't brush your teeth, they try to say, well, when you brush your teeth, your gums might bleed, and bleeding breaks your fast. Where's the evidence? That's a lie. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to brush his teeth with suwak while fasting. He said, this does not break your fast. Okay? And next question, true or false? Perfume, the smelling or wearing of perfume breaks the fast. True or false? The smelling or wearing of perfume breaks the fast. Very good. That answer is false. And there's also a lot of radical fanatics out there who think not only do they think that brushing the teeth breaks the fast, they think that you can't wear perfume either. Or if you smell anything good, it breaks your fast too. If you touch a woman, all this crazy stuff. Again, guys, there's a lot of misconceptions about this religion. And we got so many Muslims who are so concerned with giving dawah to the kafir, they need to give dawah to themselves, teach themselves about this religion, because the average Muslim doesn't even know the basic rulings of fasting. The average Muslim doesn't even know what things break the fast and what things do not. So we really need to spend more time teaching ourselves about our religion, because we have a lot of misconceptions about our own way of life. As you guys can see, very few things break the fast. Very, very few things do. So on that note, we're going to continue by wrapping up this book. We're going to talk about the rulings on fasting, which are specific for women. Now, a woman who has reached the age of puberty. Now, let me first talk about this hadith. Remember, we talked about shyness. There's a lot of Muslims who need to understand. Allah hates an extremist just as much as he hates a hypocrite. Highness is a form of haya, High shyness may be a good characteristic, but it also becomes a bad characteristic if you are too shy. Allah doesn't like anything that is too much, okay? So there's nothing wrong with being shy, but we should never be too shy. Too shy to practice our religion. Too shy to ask questions about our religion. Too shy to obey Allah. Too shy to speak up for Allah. This is haram. When a person becomes too shy like this, then he has a problem. And we talked about this before. And there's a lot of Muslims out there, guys, who are suffering from being too shy. And we find this problem very prevalent among even our Muslim men. And that's really bad when a Muslim man is too shy to even take the microphone and talk. Or a Muslim man is too shy to speak out. Or too shy to stand up for his religion. Okay? And I'll give you an example right now as to why how shyness can become a sin. Any girl who has reached the age of puberty but is too shy to tell anyone, and as a result of being too shy, she does not fast. A girl such as this has become a sinner. Not only does she have to make up the days that she missed of Ramadan, and not only does she have to also feed a poor person for each day, but she also has to repent because guess what? She's a sinner. So this is an example, guys, of where being too shy is a sin. If you have a daughter, you need to tell your daughters, for all you mothers out there, and you men too who are raising your daughters alone without a wife, tell your daughter that she should never be too shy when it comes to her religion. And if she starts her period, she needs to let you know. Because once she starts her period, she now is a woman according to Islam, and she now is held accountable for her deeds. Okay, her own deeds. She has to start praying every day. She has to start fasting during the month of Ramadan. She has to start wearing a hijab if she's not. So you inform your daughters that they should never be too shy when it comes to matters like this. Because any girl who is too shy to tell her parents that she's menstruating, and as a result she doesn't fast for the month of Ramadan, she's a sinner. She's got to make those days up, plus feed a poor person for every day, plus seek repentance. Okay, so we need to be aware of this and stress this to your daughters. And explain to them that there's nothing wrong with being shy at the right time. Remember the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said there's a time for this and a time for that. The believer knows the time to be shy. The believer knows the time to speak out. The believer knows the time to be quiet. So she needs to learn that there's a time for this and a time for that as in regards to being shy. And this is not the time when it comes to her fulfilling her obligations to Allah. Also, if a woman does not know exactly how many days that she has missed of Ramadan, say for example you don't remember how many days if you have to make up. If she cannot tell exactly, then she should fast until she is certain, fairly certain, that she has made up those days. And she should offer repentance for delaying making up each day. Another thing too, guys, for you women to understand, you don't have 3 years to make up no fast. You have from one Ramadan to the next. Whatever days of Ramadan that you ladies missed last year, you got to have them made up before Ramadan starts this year. You don't have 3 years, you only got 1 year. Okay? And if you don't make it up before the next Ramadan begins, you have committed a sin. and you have to repent. Okay? Also, now remember we talked about how a woman cannot fast without her husband's permission. This does not apply to Ramadan. You don't need your husband's permission to fast. It doesn't matter what your husband say to you. Because you're doing this because this is an obligation to Allah. And the same thing with making up your fast. If you are making up your days from last year, your husband comes home and you tell him that you fasting to make up your days, he cannot order you to break your fast. You tell him no. This is not a voluntary fast. This is an obligatory fast I am making up from Ramadan. So we need to be aware of this, because I did receive an email from one lady telling me that she did not make up any of her days from Ramadan because her husband wouldn't let her. This is wrong. Your husband cannot tell you to not fulfill your obligation to Allah. You need to seek his permission when doing a voluntary fast. Ramadan is not a voluntary fast. And if you're making up your days, that's not voluntary. That is obligatory. So again, your husband cannot order you to break it. You need to remember that as a woman. So now there's many issues in regards to menstruation concerning women and fasting too. When a woman who is menstruating sees the white substance, which is discharged by the uterus when the period is finished, this is when she knows that she has become pure, and she should make the intention that night to fast and begin fasting the next day. A lot of women, it's very shocking to me to know that, unfortunately, there's a lot of women who don't even know their periods. I mean, you should be aware of your period, your body. Every woman's body is different. Okay? And it's really shocking that a lot of women don't know how they can tell if their period is over. You can tell by if you stick a cotton up in there, or you stick a piece of toilet paper up there, and the toilet paper comes out clean with no blood or no stain on it. That's how you know your period is over. And when you do that, that's when you know that you make your intentions to fast and you begin to fast that for the next day. So now this leads us to a question that many women ask. They say, okay, my period stopped. I inserted the tissue. It came out clear. So I made my intentions to fast and I spent the whole day fasting. However, at my crib, when I went to use the bathroom, I noticed that after my crib, the blood started back. Is my fast still valid? The answer is yes. If your period stopped and you did not notice any bleeding the whole day while you fasted, but later on, after my grip, it started again. Yes, your fast was valid for that day. Okay? But you don't fast the next day until that blood goes away. Also, a lot of women, for those women who know their bodies well, they may say, okay, my period is due on the 15th of the month. So I'm not going to fast on the 15th because I know my period will start sometime that day. That is wrong too. Even if you know when your period is going to start, you still fast. You do not break the fast until the bleeding occurs. You cannot say that I know my period is going to start today, so I'm not going to fast. You have to fast until it begins. A lot of women ask us questions about this thing too. I get this every year too. There's a lot of women out there, guys, who like to mess around with Allah's decree. Remember we talked about how so many people, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said one of the signs of the last hour will be that the people will deny Allah's qadr. We see that happening today. Every Ramadan, there's a bunch of women who try to take these pills to stop their periods. This is wrong. This is wrong. You should not be sitting around taking pills to stop your period. First of all, this is not the behavior of the women, the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Secondly, you are denying Allah's qadr. If Allah has decreed for something to be, it's going to be. You can take those pills till you turn red. And I remember last year we had one lady join here from Pakistan. She asked me about the pills. I told her, no, you should not take them, because this is not what the companions did. And if Allah wants your period to start, it's going to start anyway. She didn't listen to me. She took them pills anyway. Then she came back and told me, guess what? Now she's bleeding and won't stop, and she's in the hospital. The pills did not even stop her period. And worse than that, it caused her damage. It damaged her uterus. I told her, that's what you get. That's what you get for not listening, and that's what you get for playing around with Allah's decree. So for you women out there who like to take those pills to stop your period, you need to stop doing this. Because again, there's a lot of medical evidence to prove that those pills cause a lot of problems in women. It doesn't stop you from bleeding. In fact, it's going to make you bleed even worse. Okay? Allah created woman, and He created us to bleed every so many days. You cannot change Allah's decree. This is what Allah meant for us to do, so you have to accept it. Okay? For those women who are suffering from istihada, let me explain what istihada is. Istihada is a sickness that comes from the shaitan. We find a lot of women who like to say that they have this. Well, if they knew that istihada came from shaitan, they wouldn't be so quick to say they got it. Zainab, may Allah be pleased with her, used to pray to Allah. She used to stay up all night long praying. So she developed istihada. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told her, this is from the shaitan. This was shaitan's way of trying to keep her from praying. So the Prophet told her, you go ahead and you still pray. Not every woman is suffering from istihada, guys. I'm sorry, but you ain't on that level. No matter how much you may want to be. Okay? What we have is irregular periods. There's a lot of women out there who have irregular periods. You have to accept that and deal with that. A woman can tell what her period is from the color and the smell. If it's the color of a menses, the smell of a menses, and it's a period. Istihada is not the color of a menses. It's not like bleeding on your period. It's a different kind of bleeding. It also has no smell, no odor. And it's like a spotting. So don't be so quick to try to say you have istihada. I'm sorry, you ain't on that level. No, you don't. You have what most women have, which is irregular bleeding. And if you are suffering from irregular bleeding, you need to look and be able to tell if it's a period by looking at the color of it. If it's the color of a period, then you don't fast, you don't pray until it ends. Okay? But for those few women out there who do suffer from istihada, and I mean few, they can continue to fast, and that spotting of blood does not affect the validity of their fast. There's also many questions that people, women ask in regards to a miscarriage. If a pregnant woman miscarries and the fetus is formed, for example, the fetus, you can recognize a hand or a leg or a body part. Okay? then her blood is not clean. It's not clean. But if she miscarries and it just looks like a blood clot, then her bleeding is istihara and she has to fast. Okay? So you need to remember that, guys, for you women out there who have miscarriages. If you are pregnant and you suffer a miscarriage during Ramadan, you have to look at the fetus. If it was formed, then you do not have to fast, because that blood was not together. But if it comes out with nothing, with no body parts or anything, then you do fast. And I hope none of you go through that type of miscarriage. The same thing with the DNC. Once a woman has a DNC to clean the womb, she should begin to fast. Okay? So the doctor has to give you a DNC because you having a miscarriage or whatever. Then after the DNC, then you begin to fast. Okay? There are some breastfeeding women who fast too. If a breastfeeding woman fasts during the day and she sees a spot of blood during the night, but she did not see that blood during the day, then her fast is still valid. But remember, guys, if a woman is breastfeeding or pregnant, and she's afraid for her, she's pregnant and she fears her health or her baby's health, or if a woman is breastfeeding, they do not have to fast. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said Allah has lifted the obligation of fasting and part of the prayer from the traveler and from the pregnant woman and the breastfeeding woman. So if you are breastfeeding and if fasting affects your milk or whatever, guys, you don't have to fast. You just feed one poor person for each day. And if you are pregnant and if fasting will be a hardship on you or the baby, you don't have to fast then either. You instead feed one poor person for each day. So now this brings us to another question that we go through with many women every year too. What about my husband? I'm married to a man who wants to force me to have sex during Ramadan when we're fasting. My husband knows that it's haram, but he wants me to have sex with him even though we're supposed to be fasting. In the case of a woman who is fasting during the month of Ramadan, if her husband has intercourse with her during the day with her consent, then the ruling that applies to him applies to her. Remember, we talked about how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said the worst thing a person can do is have sex when he's supposed to be fasting. Anyone who does that intentionally is an unbeliever. That applies to you too. If you are agreeing with your husband and allowing him to do this to you. If, however, your husband forces you, and a force means he grabs you and holds you down and makes you do it. I'm not talking about he tells you, if you don't have sex with me, I'm going to leave you. I'm talking about he actually physically grabs you and forces you to have sex with him. You should do your best to resist him. And if he does have sex with you after you're trying to resist him, then you are not obligated to make that fast up nor repent for it. Ibn Aqil, may Allah be pleased with him, said, in the case of a man who has intercourse with his wife during the day in Ramadan while she is sleeping, she does not have to offer expiation. Okay? So if your husband is forcing you and you're trying to resist him and he's physically forcing you, then you're not held accountable for that, but you need to go and get some help for your husband. Seriously. And again, I encourage you women to utilize your imams. If you are married to a man who is that un-God-fearing, you need to contact your local imam and let him know what your husband is doing, the sin he's committing with you, so your imam can put him in check. Okay? And again, if you are a woman and you're married to a man that you know is weak, you know that your husband cannot control himself around you, then you should try to keep away from him during the fasting day and don't beautify yourself from him. If you know that your husband is weak and he's turned on easily to you, you try to stay away from him during the daytime when you're fasting. Encourage him to leave the house. Try to get him to go to the mosque. And make sure that you don't put on no pretty clothes or anything for him. You make yourself as unappealing as you can. Okay? And again, if he's a real problem, you need to call your local imam. So thus, these are just a few of the different rulings concerning women for Ramadan. And again, the reason why we went over these rulings now was for you to be able to prepare yourself mentally and spiritually for what's up, what's yet to come in the next couple of weeks. Ramadan is the time of year that we Muslims should look forward to this, because it's the time of year whereas all good deeds are doubled. Anything that we do good is doubled. Also, anything that we do bad is doubled too. It's also the time of remembrance of Allah and asking Allah to forgive us for our sins. We need to remember that anyone who fasts the month of Ramadan out of sincere devotion to Allah, Allah will forgive he or she of all their past sins. So thus we need to welcome this time of year, welcome this month into our lives, and make the best of it by celebrating Allah, praising Allah, and seeking Allah's forgiveness. Okay? We're going to stop right here, guys, and this will conclude our, you know, short lecture on Ramadan. What I'm going to do next week, we're going to talk about some heart softeners, how to soften up your heart a little bit more. And then hopefully Ramadan will begin by that time and we can kick back into another book that I want to use about fasting and Ramadan. Okay, so if you guys have any questions about anything, inshallah, go ahead and ask them now.